On our program today, visiting with John Rosa, the legendary administrator for... you knew I was going to slip it in.
You're pretty reliable with that one.
Anyway, administrator for our Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling. Good to have you back.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Here we are. It's a
beautiful sunshiny day.
Well,
somewhere.
Or somewhere. Hey, at least you're not fighting snow. Oh, I did have to throw that in there, didn't I?
Ouch.
Hey, yeah. Last time, though, you were getting ready to take your household hazardous waste collection event this second time of the year. You always go on the road to Madrid. And did go okay? How'd it go?
It was good. Got it done. Not too much incident by any means, but not a huge amount of visitors, I guess, or users, but we had a few that did show up with a lot of stuff. So a good quantity, I guess, in actual product, but yeah, by individual people, I don't know about the turnout was kind of slow, but that's all right. It's still, we got a lot of stuff taken in, which is good. So it's always good to get it out.
We like that part. And again, the two that go on the road in June in Boone,
yep,
right before the citywide cleanup stuff, and then the one down in Madrid. Ogden used to do one, but they kind of went away from that. But you guys, I know you get regular visits from people from Ogden. They'll just bring things out. They give you a call and set up a time. And
yeah,
away we go.
It's been on my mind to maybe we need to revisit that and try that. Maybe start alternating between Madrid and Ogden or something year to year, just because quantity and, you know, to mix it up and provide the service on a continual basis. Maybe a little more regularity too. And, you know, with the other consideration is going over to Greene County too, which is part of our service area, not Jefferson, but still collaborate with them possibly and do one in Greene County to provide that service. Because I know I've had conversations with folks over in Sherdan and a couple other city visits. Drawn a blank, which ones I went
to. I'm guessing Peyton up there. They've got, you know, that's part of your service. So.
Yep, it's a little bit of a distance to go, and for them to bring their stuff over. So maybe we could look at doing that once, a rotational type of thing. Talking to Metro Waste Authority about the service, and when we do those satellite pickups like that, to what about just Jefferson in general? And Jefferson is part of their service area, also not ours, but it is part of Metro.
Part of Metro,
we could collaborate with that other service area and just do it in Jefferson. At least it would be closer for the Greene County folks to get their stuff dropped off. So some things in the works to consider and organize. Of course, you throw that into them, and then Metro kind of looks at you like, more? You know, we're already kind of busy, you know, ourselves. Trying to schedule when to do that would be, of course, something to consider. But we're talking about trying to provide the service and make it as convenient as possible for folks. So
well, bottom line is you'd prefer it not to come into the landfill, but you have your small place. And by the way, folks, we will be having one final Saturday morning event on the 1st of November.
Yep.
And then we kind of shut it down until, I mean, at least
for that Saturday morning
opportunity. It's the first Saturday for a couple hours. And if you've been cleaning things out, say you got several gallons of lead base paint.
Yeah.
You know,
yikes.
Well, might.
Right.
You never know. You don't know.
Yep.
But again, qualifying things, eligible products, I should say.
Yep.
And you are you finding more people will say, I'm going to just keep this and then use it. Yeah, I'll mix it up with some new stuff next year.
Yeah,
or things like that.
Yeah.
So.
And especially the ones that, like latex itself, when they'll bring it, they're disappointed that we can't take it. And you tell them it's just garbage. It just needs to be dried out. And, I'll find a use for it. Or, you know, is there any other thing? And, you know, you can mix it together and make some random gray color and do some color.
I think it turns out beige.
Beige.
I think that's what it does.
Okay.
I don't know.
Some earth tone-y type thing, anyway. So it's always better to put it to use rather than, you know, mix it with kitty litter and throw it away, or, you know, even the household hazardous waste with the oil-based paint, when we collect it, it's going to get eliminated somehow and probably burnt off and incinerated somewhere. So, you know,
somebody will do
always
it.
Better to use it.
Yeah. All right. So, we got that happening.
Yep.
Too.
So one more collection, as you mentioned, November 1st, one more Saturday collection. There is still that during the week.
Just schedule
yep.
an appointment.
Yep, call ahead, and we'll just make sure. We just need to make sure we have someone around that can be available and take the stuff and store it properly and handle it. So, you know, it's that time of year. You got till probably the end of November is when we usually shut her down for the year because it's starting to get cold. And then we'll just say, oh, hold on till April, and then we'll reopen that and start collecting again. So
I'm guessing you find you get, and I remember several years ago when people would, you know, well, they would clean out a shed or something like that. And well, we got this barrel, or we got this, you know, we're not real sure what it is. And that's when we were running into occasionally they were finding things like some arsenic and stuff like that. And so, I mean, there are still things out there, I'm guessing.
Hopefully it becomes eliminating, you know, the less.
I hope there's a lot less. We've been doing this a while.
But yeah, those are always the nervous ones when we do the collection events. They pull in with a whole truckload of stuff, and there's glass jars with random liquids that are unmarked, and you know, thank goodness that Metro is available to help with the process to say, well, what is this? And you know, there's tests that we can do to figure out if it's acidic or base or which it is, you know, what it's made of. But it's still nice to have labels, to have something to go on.
That's the reason they wear the suits when they're doing that.
Protection.
That's right. Well, again, so we'll have that happening too. Didn't want to ask you batteries because that's been a hot topic lately. Of course, just with the fire departments doing the, the big thing this year was about lithium ion.
Lithium ion. Yep.
And of course, you guys started in. You know, I've seen several different reports and things done on other media sources, but you guys have started. You did the ABC, all batteries
collected. Yep.
And I know that. Some people would always say, well, if it's just alkaline, just throw it away. But bottom line is, it's a fire starter.
Yeah. Yep. And it's, you know, we just wanted to collect them all.
It's not as good a fire starter as they had need for Survivor, but it will start a fire.
That's right. And the alkaline ones, you're right. There's not much to recover, even if it's completely dead and has no charge left in it. What can you recycle out of there? There's metal, but it's such a small amount that it's really not worth it. Yeah. But the disclaimer that we did is it's getting more confusing. There's more mixtures of different types of batteries, and I guess showing my age a little bit too. It's getting harder to read the darn things when the print is so small. I swear my arms are getting shorter. I can't get it to the right distance. But it's just more challenging to figure out what type it is. What do I do with it? What if it has a charge? Do I need to worry about the contacts, all that stuff? So it's more confusing. So we just tried to eliminate it, and we said, let's just take them all. You know, we'll take all the batteries, even though some of them are just frankly garbage. Some could be recycled. Some should go to hazardous waste. Some should be handled separately. Some should go to a demanufacturer, whatever. There's a lot of stuff about it. So the point being, let's make it as convenient as possible. We'll just take them all.
Take them all.
And we'll figure it out, and we'll get them to the right spot instead. So it's a little bit of laborious on our side, you know, the more work involved, but also, and probably more expense. But frankly, our intent is to get it safe, get them out of their homes, and also get them in the right spot so that we don't have them thrown into the recycling building where there's a potential for a hazard, a fire starting, which has happened, or down to landfill, which fires have happened, and they happen on a regular basis, frankly, and it's statewide, it's nationwide. It's a big concern, and there's more of an effort coming down, I think, in the on the legislative side of things, that there may be some process in place to say, how do we better handle this and manage it and regulate it a little bit.
The rechargeables we've always had,
right?
That's been one of the big things because of what makes up rechargeable batteries. Mm-hmm. It's usually the alkaline, where a lot of people just throw it away. Mm-hmm. But okay, so I have my box full. I've got the. Use my packing tape,
yep.
And a little strip out.
That's good.
Lay them down, cover up the positives, and put them in there. So, again, just bring it out to the landfill.
Right.
Is that the best bet?
It is, yep. And we
don't leave them, don't just put them into a container and without covering one of the ends. Yeah.
By getting them to the landfill does not mean throw them into your garbage to get to the landfill. It means bringing them out separately in a container and giving them to us. And we actually take those in the office. That's one you really don't need an appointment for because we're readily available in the office. We're open, you know, when the gates are open 8 to 3 and during the week, we can handle those at any time. So if you have those, you can drop them off without an appointment. It's always nice to call ahead to make sure someone's around. Sure. But when the gates are open, we're there. We don't shut down. So yeah, we can take that right in the office without appointment. So bring those batteries on in. It's not going away.
It's one of those things you started as a convenience, and I know more and more are starting to do that too. It's just one of those challenges.
It is. And there's other facilities. I know we just went for our fall conference for ISOSPO, Iowa Society of Solid Waste Operators, and a bunch of landfill and recycling folks getting together talking about stuff. And you learn from what others are doing. And up in Dubuque, they're doing a collection with special containers placed at different areas, but they're focused on the batteries, but also like right down to they take in the phones, tablets, even the cords and the accessories, all those additional things. So, and the convenient drop-off places. And, you know, that's been in our mind to do something. Theirs is pretty elaborate. They have a nice boxes designed, and it's the idea that then should we mimic that, and should others in the state mimic it, take the idea and run with it to expand it, so there's that same consistent message everywhere. Probably, you know, as long as it works for everybody, I would support that. You know, it's one of them recycling things too. It's different in different areas, and it's the same thing. Can we take the same e-waste? And we could here, and it's certainly something to consider to just continue with the same message, more consistency. But there's always that hesitation, like, what if? And I'd like to talk to them some more to be like, what if someone's dropping off a battery that is compromised, it's bulging hot, the chance of a fire starting, where are you putting these things, how do you regulate that, how do you control that, because someone wants to get rid of that, you know, they want to get rid of it, and oh, batteries, let's put them right in there, and you know, the potential for fire there, you know, we don't want it anywhere, we don't want it at the landfill or the recycling area, but you know, I'm sure we wouldn't want it in any random business either. So just hesitations, like how do you do this,
huh?
How? Yeah.
What if?
I mean, it's easy to put the boxes there, but also what if this happens?
Yeah.
And then liability and all those.
Because obviously those are, you always got to look at potentially the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But your last visit, we did talk about airspace. We talked about some of the new numbers that came out, your engineering analysis. We've added a few years from different things that have been done, but we also see, and I know when you talk to the supervisors, they also mention, you know, well, with municipal solid waste tends to continue to increase the amounts, even if we get your secondary area going somewhere else, you still have an increasing amounts coming out of your base area.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, it was interesting getting the report for the available airspace, and we're talking about our next cell, and we're actually talking about going into that next the process to get that built, which is kind of scary that it's the last cell to build. And I throw a little disclaimer in there to say last permitted cell in the permitted area, so it's something that's it can be consider to go ahead with rather easily. Just need the design and, you know, and money, of course. Yeah. But the permission to do it is there. It's one step. If we want to do more, then we're looking at some other barriers to deal with, some other issues to contend. But
at this point, anyway.
Yeah. You know, the nerve-wracking part is it's our last cell currently. It's like, oh, boy, you know, here it comes.
But well, logistically, it gives you some options when it comes to disposal.
Right. And it starts building it up to where if you look at the last one, you know, you have it's already been built up several, you know, 20, 30 feet high.
Yeah.
Well, if we continue going higher, then we're kind of limited on how we're able to work things together to stair-step garbage down to the area to make it more functional instead of just trying to feed it into there. And, you know, the timing is important. And with the forced main leachate line coming into that same area, it seems like both projects may be kind of overlapping, which is good. Could be scary, could be busy, it could be some headaches involved with it, but if one's coming in, the other one, and if we coordinate those things, it seems like an appropriate time to look at that too. So frankly, it just came down to our operators that we kind of need this space open soon to really make it function.
Sure.
Also, well, you know, stuff doesn't get cheaper. You know, year to year, it's going to be more expensive later. So let's just get this over with and let's get it built and let's have it available. It's going to be built anyway at some point. So
not as big as the cell that they're in right now, but again, your last designated spot.
Yeah.
Really. And again, you got to go through all the same things, all the engineering for it. But bottom line is, once they get everything set out, move the earth, whatever you need to do, you still got to have the liner. You still got to have all of those things.
Yep.
And it takes time to put
collection
all that
type
together.
And yep. And where's the leachate going to flow and designing it and all that stuff. So, you know, and then we're looking at, you know, we have 24 years right now. Doing some calculations, you could say it's anywhere. Once that new cell is built, we were at 24. We could probably get to 33 years of life.
Okay.
33.
With the same amount 35. of coming in?
So we were estimating initially at 24 years. That was on a 80,000 ton a year basis, which is kind of lower on the current operation, but will be higher in the future beyond June 30 of 2027. So in a couple of years, that number will be lower. So you start playing with some of that stuff to where that goes down to maybe 60 is the number. We could be even lower than that for a while, but as you mentioned, you know, there's growth, there's more garbage coming in on a regular basis, it seems like. Yeah. So that number can fluctuate, but you're taking some estimates to say if it's 80,000 ton a year or 60,000 ton a year. At 80,000 ton a year, we would be 24 years. If it's 60,000 ton, then we're at 34-ish years. And again, estimates and compaction levels, and it's not fully designed yet either. That's just still a rough guess. So we'll get a better idea when the new cell is actually designed and laid out. Then we'll have an even better figure. So this is capacity study. We're going to be probably doing that every year for the next three or four years until things normalize a little bit, and then we can get a better feel of where we're at. So
as I call it, the science of conserving airspace.
Right? Yeah, that's right. And that's the whole thing. We're trying just to be here as long as possible to provide this service to our to our residents, to our community, to our service area. So
we're doing yard waste. My guess is relatively slow because we get a lot of leaves still in the trees.
Yeah, that's right.
Things could pick up in a hurry.
That's right. It sure could. You know, the first, when we first opened it up, the start of the month, was on the second, third, and fourth was the first kickoff week. It was busy. The first day is like, woo, okay, people were waiting for this. It's like, this is going to be something. And then it really slowed down. You know, last week was not as much, and it's just, you know, here and there. But, you know, I expect, yeah, as you mentioned, as it gets colder, then the leaves start falling more and more cleanup going on, that I'm guessing the end of the month and into November will be busier.
Yeah.
So far, kudos, it's been pretty good. It's not perfect, but there's seems to be less plastic. I don't want to jinx it, but there seems to be less plastic bags and trash thrown into the yard waste area, which, you know, is...
That you appreciate that.
I do. Yeah. Less is better in that regard, but it's still frustrating that there's any in there. So it's, you got to, we can always do better. We can always do better with recycling. We can always do better with the yard waste area, that we want zero garbage mixed in with that yard waste area. If it grows, it goes. We want natural things, 2x4s. You've always mentioned there's no 2x4 tree. Those 2x4s did not grow in your yard. So keep that in mind. Those do not go in there. Whether they're treated or regular, it doesn't matter. So, yeah.
And it's, again, it's hopefully, yeah, most people pay attention and use it for what the intent is, or if they're into doing their own composting and stuff like that, they probably don't see it very often.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
Which
they
is
had
wonderful.
Some sort of thing where some trees blew down or branches and things like that.
Yeah.
Still get
Better
those.
Stuff.
But So yeah, we keep just forging ahead.
You bet.
All right. Once again, let's see. What do we got? Well, Halloween coming up. It's scary out there. We're not trick-or-treating out there or anything like that. Really, otherwise, it's just regular routine going on right now, it sounds like.
We get the occasional Ames and Ames waste coming in when they're shut down and stuff. But otherwise, if it stays dry, it's much easier to work with at the landfill. Guys really appreciate it. Customers appreciate it because there's less mud and less chance of getting stuck when it stays drier. So it's just it's so much more helpful when it's dry at the landfill.
The cardboard collection opportunities, again, office and paper, stuff like that. Any businesses, anything like that. Yep. All you got to do is make contact if you want to have them stop by.
Yep, that's so, right.
Easy enough to do.
Give us a call, 515-433-0591. If you have no idea about the business recycling portion of it, let us talk to you about it. We'll stop by and visit, see how we can lay it out, when we could do it, and provide that service. And again, it's a free service. So give us a call and explore it if you're not currently doing that.
And if you do have cardboard and you're looking for a way to get rid of it, we've got a truck.
Yep.
And they'll take it. Has it been working out okay?
Yeah.
So, overall, I mean, you know, because a lot of work getting started and getting things laid out and organized, but
seems like the dust has settled, you know, on the changing some of that stuff up, but I think it's going along all right. We're, you know, getting some of that diverted separately from the mixed stuff, so that's helpful. And
that was really the big thing, because that is marketable for you right now, for you at least. I don't know. Maybe it pays for fuel for the truck. I don't know.
It's a little bit. I don't. It's not money making, but it's less cost prohibitive, I would say. So it's frankly prevents contamination. So when we're able to not mix it and risk that. So overall, it's off to a good start.
John Rosa, landfill administrator, recycling coordinator for us, our guest on our program today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.